At his trial before the Revolutionary Court in Paris, Charles Darnay has been declared innocent after the testimony of his father-in-law, Dr. Manette. He returns to Tellson's Bank to be reunited with Lucy and share for the first time her joy that they are soon to be parents. If only it were that easy.
New evidence has arisen. Two witnesses have come forward to denounce Sir Evremond, and the tribunal calls upon him to answer for an ancient and monstrous crime. He is to be rearrested.
No!
A vast change has come about, sweeping millions along in its wake. Does the individual human heart have any meaning here now? The great forces of history are churning.
I'll tell you, Jerry, are you listening to me?
And yet bread must be bought and eaten, wine and water drunk. Life, tiny, ordinary, amazing life must go on.
What I was saying is, I ain't so much as seen the dog's portion of a decent vegetable in this city, never mind a lump in Pennyworth. I mean, what is that?
I believe that is an artichoke.
That is not a Jerusalem, Mr. Tripes and Trillibubs. A Jerusalem is like a potato what gives you the wombles, and it...
Cross, no need to take on.
Solomon!
Solomon? Jerusalem? You ain't turning red-letter religious, are you?
Solomon! Solomon, wait! Jerry, follow him! Catch him!
The woman's running mad. Cross!
Cross!
Oh, is that coffee, Laurie, old man?
It is.
Then for the love of all the gods, pour me one.
You found nothing?
Where there's no charge, there can be no defence.
No hint of...
The new witnesses, not a thing. Friend Manette has tried to see Defarge a dozen times, but he's not to be found. Away on business of the revolution in Toulon. His place on the local committee taken by his wife.
That woman scares me, Carton.
I've observed her on the committee. She's driven by a great vision, terrible, but also magnificent in her way.
You've been to the committee?
Oh, yes. I've been everywhere in the last days. I am the English observer. I've become well known around the streets and, should I say, the bars of Paris. I'm writing a book on the revolution.
Are you?
No. But it allows me to see how the ground lies, what faction is holding power today, if there is any chink to be found in the walls that surround Darnay.
Pray to God there is.
That's a strange remark from a banker.
I have become, over these years, a somewhat strange banker, Carton. If we get through this, then I rather fear the counting house has seen the last of Jarvis Laurie Esquire.
He went down by the river.
Why? If you ain't a dip or a lilt, what are we doing here?
Jerry, if you don't shift your cat sticks, I swear I'll flay the fox, so I will. Oh. It's me brother Solomon, ain't it?
I thought your brother's...
Little brother.
So how comes he's running away from you, Cross? No, don't answer.
You go that way. I'll go this way. Oh. That way. He won't have no way of getting away.
What?
Just do it. Oh.
Yes?
I have some soup, my dear. You should eat.
I keep seeing her eyes, Father. That woman, when she looked at Charles and then she looked at me, so much hate. What could I have done to make her hate me like that?
I don't know, Lucy. There's so much in this country that has been lost.
Do you remember in London, before all of this, when it rained and rained and... I thought it sounded like footsteps. The footsteps of all the people who would come into our lives and destroy us.
Solomon! Solly!
Hold on, Solly. Much as I might sympathise with you legging it, she is yours.
Solly!
It really is you.
Oh, wee me with the gunner's work.
Ain't you got a kiss for your big sis?
It ain't him at all. It's him.
Of course it's him.
On bloody Barsad.
Leave off, Prossy. There's a good girl.
The spy.
Oh, my Solly's never a spy, are you, Solly?
Import, export, Prossy, dear girl. I am a businessman. Now, it's lovely to clap me glazes on you and all, but I must be...
Stupid if you reckoned on walking out of this one without an explanation.
No! I'll put my brother down at once.
No. I'll tell you just where I'll put him down, Posse, dear girl.
What's this, Jerry?
Found it under a bridge with the other rats, Mr. Lloyd.
Well, I'll be damned.
You probably will be, but if you was to tell the Duke of Limbs here to let me go, you might get some time off in purgatory.
Yeah, leave him be, Jerry. And you can tell us why you've brought him here.
Well, don't you recognise him, Mr. Lorry? Mr. Carton? Import, export?
Jerry, yes, indeed I do.
Surely not. Well, that fellow, what was his name?
John Barsad. At least that was his nom de betrayal, as it were.
No. That dog hanged himself shortly after the Old Bailey trial. It was in the newspaper,
I just think... Oh, it might have been in the newspaper, but he wasn't in his coffin. No way, was he? Rocks and gravel, that's what was...
Jerry.
Mr. Lorry.
Whilst you gents are settling this slightly awkward question, I'll just stay. No!
Put.
You have been using Tellson's bank as a blind for the resurrection businessman. I trusted you.
I never betrayed that trust, Mr. Lorry.
It's against the law. It's grave robbing. For God's sake, Jerry Cruncher, you dishonoured the company, the reputation of the House of Tellson.
If you'll give me leave to say two things...
I don't see why I shouldn't tell you to get out and never show your face here again.
Perhaps, Lorry, because Jerry might be a useful man to have around the way things are going.
All right, then. Speak.
The one is, Tellsons might be ashamed of me... But they ain't ashamed to be bankers for most of the doctors and surgeons who buy the bodies I resurrect.
He has you there.
And the other is, I know this means me and Tellson's have to part ways. I'll only ask you to take my boy, Natty, in my place. He's a good lad who probably deserves better than he's got. Do that, and by God, Jerry Cruncher will stand by you to the end.
Very well, Jerry. We'll see what happens. No more words, but actions.
Yeah. And you can start with our friend here. Let's see what he's carrying. If nothing else, these revolutionaries love paperwork, so we ought to find something useful. Jerry?
No, don't let him...
Here, drink this. It'll help. Is that any better?
Oh, my head. What happened?
Jerry Cruncher happened. A bit over-anxious to prove his newfound loyalty. Keep your eyes shut, the headache will go. Trust me, I'm an expert.
This is kidnapping.
This is Paris in the revolution. Do you know how many people die every day on the guillotine? Well, yes, of course, you probably do know, don't you? Do you want Jerry to help your memory?
Tell him to leave me alone.
Then you'd better talk to me. We look through your papers. Your free entry to La Force prison. You have a pass to anywhere you might want to go in the city under the authority of the Committee of Public Safety. You're a spy for the Jacobins.
It's no crime. They're the government.
How do you think they'd react to statements signed by myself and Mr. Jarvis Lorry, a well-known English banker, that you were a spy in British government pay?
You've no proof.
They're executing people because their grandfathers were cooks who worked for some minor aristocrat 20 years ago. My friend, suspicion will do it. And it will do for you. You help me, or you're a dead man.
How do I know I can trust you?
Your sister Pross is held in great affection by Lucy Darnay. I would not wish to do anything to hurt either of them any further. They are your guarantee. As long as they're alive and free, so are you.
First time I saw you back in the Old Bailey, I thought... This man is going to cause me trouble. All right, it's a deal. But when we're done, we're done.
Agreed. How's your head?
It seems fine now.
Told you so.
And every day the doomed wait their turn to roll on the life tide of the city to the boundless, everlasting sea. 52, 60, 70, 90. There's no end. And before their blood runs into the blood of yesterday, tomorrow's blood is appointed and set on its steadily rolling voyage. And in his cell, Charles Darnay waits alone until such time as treacherous tides bring him to...
Charles Evremond, called Darnay, recently released, reaccused, and retaken.
This time watching are his wife, her father.
Denounced as an aristocrat, one of a family of tyrants who use their power for the infamous oppression of the people.
Mr. Lorry, and the English observer, the lawyer, Carton, almost as disordered as the crowd, and certainly, as they say, in drink.
Denounced by who? Who can say I am a criminal?
I call upon citizen Thérèse Defarge to make herself known.
I am here.
You were at the storming of the Bastille, citizen?
I was, with my husband.
Inform the court what you did that day.
We found a warder to take us to a certain cell.
What cell?
105 North Tower.
What did you do there?
We secured a paper which had been hidden.
What was that paper?
It was an account of certain events in the life of a prisoner of the Bastille.
The name of that prisoner?
Dr. Alexandre Manette.
Let it be read.
I, Alexandre Manette, physician, native of Beauvais, later resident of Paris,
now prisoner of the Bastille, write down this relation of my imprisonment. One night, on the third week in December, 22nd, in the year 1767, I was walking home from the School of Medicine when the coachman, wrapped in a black cloak, his face thin, pale in the yellow light of the coach lantern, looked down at me.
You are Dr. Manette?
Yes,
physician,
monsieur?
And surgeon?
That is I.
We have been to your home. They told us you would be walking by the river.
We, I thought. And only then did I see another face, thin and pale, hovering in the darkness within the coach.
Get in, doctor.
We left the city and drove for hours, it seemed to me, as I sat there watching that thin, pale face hover in the darkness, as if there was no body attached to it at all. At last...
It would appear, gentlemen, that you are indeed people of condition.
We are not in the habit of lying, Doctor. There would be no point to it.
A strange remark. Then we ascended, up and up, until we came at last to a small room under the very eaves of the place.
There is your patient. We wait outside.
My patient was a young woman who had once been very beautiful. She lay there, trembling. Her arms were bound to her sides. Her eyes were wide, and in them was only madness. What had driven her to find refuge in that madness?
I'm here to help you.
Only God knew.
Be still.
But, of course, that was not true. That truth was known only to God and her doctor, and those who had taken her on that dark journey of unutterable torment. Then her lips stopped their fluttering and, for a moment, rested, and from somewhere deep within herself, she found words.
Father, husband, brother, sister, all dead. Let it be known.
What has happened here?
You see what has happened, Doctor.
I see, but I do not understand, Monsieur.
An amusement, shall we say.
You say what?
A passing pleasure.
She said...
She talks still?
A father, a husband, a brother and sister.
What do we know of these things? She is a barefoot girl who caught my brother's eye. That is all.
She's dying, Monsieur. Have you no feelings?
Yes. Let us see this life depart.
It will be instructive, perhaps. You seem shocked, Doctor. But consider, we are all of us governed by our natures. There's nothing we can do about this. We are animals like any other. To pretend otherwise is to live an excuse.
In the name of God.
Another excuse, an extremely weak one, if I may say, created by weak men to keep the strong in check. To be all a man can be, he must be all that he is. Ah, she has gone. Did you see her tender soul flitting up the chimney, Doctor?
What am I doing here?
My brother is concerned that she might have had one of those diseases the poor tend to pick up. Please check for any signs and then remove the body. Get rid of it as you choose.
Surely her family will...
There is no family. If you find anything, please to make up suitable prescriptions for my brother and myself. Oh, and your fee will be large enough to ensure your discretion.
Excuse me, monsieur, I will take no fee for this one.
On the contrary, doctor, you will take a fee and you will not speak of these matters ever. Do I make myself clear?
Amply clear, Monsieur Saint Evremond.
So you know.
I saw you and your brother at a levee last year. You were pointed out as coming men.
We will leave you to do your work.
In that one sentence, I had named my fate Saint Evremond. I did my work and departed without taking any payment. A week later, money was left with my wife whilst I was out. What was I to do? I returned the money by messenger to the brothers Saint Evremond. The next night, as I walked home from the Institute...
Doctor, quickly, an urgent case in the Rue Saint-Pierre.
What do you mean? I do not... God! God!
The next thing I knew, I was here, in my cell. And here I have stayed since, and for God knows how long. I am Alexandre Manette. Once doctor, now prisoner of the Bastille.
Silence!
Thérèse Defarge, is that the document you found?
It is.
Do you have anything to add to the facts in the case of Charles St. Evremond called Darnay?
I do.
Then speak now, citizen.
Citizens. The woman in the account of the Bastille prisoner was my elder sister. The family were my family. The monster, Evremond, saw her one day by the shore. He wanted her. He took her. Her husband begged. Her father begged. He ignored them. They tried to save her. They were taken and hanged. My brother, only 14, went alone to try and rescue her. He was taken. He spat in their faces. He was killed. She was killed. Eventually. Only I, a child of 10, was left. They came after me. Defarge, the doctor's servant, found me first. His family hid me, gave me shelter, and one day we married. We lived our lives. Time passed, many years. But we never forgot the name Saint Evremond. And we will never forgive!
It is as if every breath of air has been sucked from the room, from the lungs of those within it. A dreadful and awesome silence encloses all as the president turns to the committee, and one after the other they intone, like the bell strokes of pure reason and terror,
guilty!
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 And the good Dr. Manette, now truly an old man.
And I? May I say nothing?
Nothing. And the wife, death pale.
For the love of God, for the love of our unborn child, may I see him?
And it is granted. This microscopic shoot of mercy in a hostile world. They are granted their last moments together, alone.
I thought I was a hero, that I had saved him. How wrong I was. I have condemned Lucy to unhappiness, to widowhood. Condemned my grandchild to... God, help me.
You did nothing, man. That damned tribunal. Those damned brothers, the Evremonts. You're at no fault here.
Believe me, that verdict was cast before the tribunal sat. It was cast 20 years ago.
We're damned by it all the same.
No. Not without a struggle.
What can we do?
That is yet to be decided finally, but for now, friend Manette, you must go back to the court, see the president, every member of that so-called jury, and address them as one who has served his time and earned his right to speak.
Darnay is to die tomorrow.
Then if you are to save him, you must do so today. Believe me, your passion may yet bring us to a happy return.
You think it possible?
I believe anything to be possible if it is done with a good heart. And I know, Manette, that your heart is good.
I'll do it. I'll do it or die trying. Carton, Laurie, until later.
Do you think it possible?
No. Impossible.
Then why?
After all is finished and done, it'll give him some comfort that he tried. It may give Lucy some comfort too.
In a pretty damned comfortless world, does that stuff give you comfort, Carton?
This? It generally gives me a headache. And you know what the best cure for that is, Laurie? I shall see you in the morning.
Where do you go?
Oh, to put myself about a bit.
Oi!
Pross, how is she?
How do you think? Half mad with it and trying to be as brave as an Amazon.
She's all the spirit in the world.
What I want to know, Cully, is do you piss more than you drink, or is there stealing, Captain Standish?
Is it any business of yours?
Aye.
Why?
Because I'd say we both loves that girl more than we loves ourselves, right?
It's not hard in my case, Pross. There's not a lot to love here.
Stop counting the waves.
Then I have to ask you something. Your brother, can I trust him to do what he says?
You can trust him not to, because he never did. Not ever. Unless...
Unless?
You've got his neck in a noose.
It is, I'd say.
Then yes. Now, before you leg it, come over here. If you look through that there window, you can see her.
Through the flawed glass of the window, in the golden light of a candle, she sits, head bowed, a tear glittering as it falls and is then frozen in time.
I see her, Pross.
I always knowed you'd some guts in your brains, Mr. Sidney Carton. So go and use them.
Hey, roast beef. How do you like revolutionary justice?
I like it just fine, citizen. We could do with some in London, eh?
I'll drink to that.
But I'll drink to anything.
You make a spectacle of yourself. Why?
We have different aims in view, Mr. Barsad. You to keep in the shadows, I to stand in the light.
As a drunk, as a joke.
Exactly. Who takes a joke seriously? Except you, my friend.
I take my neck seriously.
What do you have for me?
The first batch go down at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Your man will be in it.
How many in all?
50, though they may add a few.
All right. Here's what I need. Passes for both of us tomorrow morning to see the prisoner. Say it's for my book.
It won't be easy.
If it was easy, I wouldn't need you and you'd be dead.
You're not going to sell me short, are you?
Until my friends are out of France, you're safe. After that, Laurie will destroy the affidavit, I'll be gone, and you'll be free. We meet tomorrow at 10 in the morning at La Force.
As you say. And, I don't usually do this. And don't think it's going to be an habit. But here's something for nothing.
Lady Bird, wake up. Wake up, Lady Bird.
What is it? What? Is it still dark?
It's early.
How long, Pross?
It don't do to be thinking about that.
Oh, God. Pross, what am I going to do?
You're going to get up and get dressed and come down and eat something.
They're going to kill him today. And I was asleep. How can that be?
Maybe you didn't hear me, Ladybird. Get up, get dressed, get downstairs and get something down your gullet. Now.
Why? Tell me why.
Because it's what we do.
Because it's what we do.
That's right. Toe-to-toe, bare knuckle. 23 rounds. Come on, come on.
Lucy, my dear, come, sit, eat. We have to go soon.
We can't go. We must be here.
Carton.
It's Jerry.
We can't run, not on this day.
Is it arranged?
Well, as neat as can be at this notice. I tell you, mister, and I'm sorry to say it in front of you, Pross, but I do not like your brother.
He was always spoiled as a nipper, being the youngest of 15.
Get yourself some coffee, Jerry, and something to eat.
Mr. Lorry, Jarvis, you must see I cannot go.
Carton.
Mrs. Darnay, the man Barsad passed on information. A warrant has been issued for your arrest as the wife of a condemned aristocrat. The warrant was sworn out by Thérèse Defarge. She means to wipe out the whole race of the Everymonds, and that means the death of the child you carry, and your death too. A coach will be here at 11. You, your father, and Mr. Lorry will be on it. If you have any last letter for your husband, I can ensure it will be delivered. I will meet you at the city gate. Miss Pross will stay here to make it seem as the place is still tenanted. Jerry will arrange a second coach.
A letter? You really can?
I can try.
God bless you, Mr. Carton. I'll do it now.
Dr. Manette
is in a bad way. I fear for his mind, Carton.
Then it's up to you and Jerry.
Well, I'll get him aboard. Barsad reckons we can trust the coachman. But me, I ain't so sanguine about it.
He knows if they are taken, so is he. It'll do. Pross.
Don't you fret over me. I can take care of myself. They won't touch an Englishwoman.
Then I suggest we have some breakfast and get about our business.
I'd do that if Jack White here hadn't ate all the bacon.
Well, leave off, Pross. It's hungry work, this plotting at 4 a.m. Still, at least it ain't resurrecting, eh, Mr. Lovey? Too soon.
Well met, Barsad.
Well, I don't think so. Are you ready?
Now it comes to it. No. As ready as I'll ever be.
You still gonna do it, then?
We, Barsad. We are going to do it.
So that makes two of us.
What?
Who are bloody fools. Come on. It ain't gonna get any easier by waiting.
Oi, citizen! Two to come through! Two to come through!
Hurry, Father. We have to get
aboard.
My fault. All mine.
Come on.
I should stay. I cannot...
Don't you fret, Doctor. It's just a little trip.
Pross. Pross.
Look at you now, Ladybird. A proper sight you are. Fit for the fancy, for sure. Now, no tears. I'll see you soon enough, and then we'll all see the back of this bloody country. Up you get.
Jerry, you'll make sure Miss Pross...
Don't you worry, Mr. Lorry. You ain't seen the last of us. Go on now, get aboard.
Seems a long time since that night on the Dover Road.
Recalled to life, yeah. Eh? Go! Yeah.
Pross, take care. Take care.
Good day, citizen.
Citizen? What brings you round here?
I'm taking my English friend to see the prisoner Darnay.
Citizen?
We have passes from the committee. A drink?
It's good French brandy, eh?
He's curious. Wants to see a real aristo while there's still a few left.
Well, go through, citizen. But be quick. Won't be around for long. None of the bastards will.
What are you up to, Pross?
Making the place look lived in. Beating the bolsters.
What exactly does that mean?
It means I'm beating the bolsters. Oh. Out the window.
I does it every morning. I'm doing it this morning. What about you?
I'm off to pick up a fly. That bastard knows a fella, and then I'll be back here to pick you up at 2 o'clock. Most everybody will be watching the... You know. Are you sure you can handle any trouble?
The day I can't handle Jean Crapaud is the day I'll be fine. You just make sure you're ear sharp.
And you can handle a bark or two, can you?
Your brother was a grenadier.
It's primed and loaded. 2 barrels over, under, if you have to.
If I have to, then I will.
We'll knock Citizen Warder when we're ready to leave, right?
What in the name of all that's holy are you doing here, Carton? And this... I know this man.
Good day.
What?
Not much of a place here.
I won't be staying long. Do you have something from Lucy? I have a letter for her. If you could take it, I'd be obliged. The guards, they don't send them on.
You can give it to her yourself.
Please don't joke. Not now, not in this place.
It's no joke, we've come to save you.
Finally, it seems the drink has rotted your brain, Mr. Carton.
You want one? It's good brandy. It helps, believe me.
If I am to meet my creator, I would rather do so with a clear head and a steady eye.
Sir. You know, I never really liked you, Darnay.
The feeling is mutual.
Nevertheless, we are here to save your life. Not for your sake, for hers.
How do you propose to do that?
Exactly as I did last time. If we change clothes, you loosen your hair, I tie mine up. You look like a drunk. I look like a pompous Frenchman. You go, I stay. I tell them of their mistake. Once you are clear, they let me go.
You think they'll let you go?
No.
Of course you don't. You know that if you stay, they will surely kill you. I honour you for it, but I cannot allow it.
Think of your wife, your child.
I do. How could I face them, knowing I had let another die in my place?
I thought you might say that. I do, however, have one final argument.
Well, believe me...
Barsad!
I generally find a sandbag pretty convincing.
Come ahead, you brass face baggage.
Where is the woman Evrimonde called Darnay?
What? What are you saying?
Where is someone who can speak French? I wish to see the man Lorry. Fetch him.
I generally do beat the bolsters every morning. A bit late this morning, but you wouldn't know, Draggletail.
What are you saying? Stand aside!
Oh, now that I do understand.
They step back, face each other, these two women who have no language in common and life between them to save, to destroy.
Things have been done. Terrible things. No atonement were made all those years ago. Now it is required of him, of her, and of her child. Madame Evrimonde, show yourself to me. I have come to settle matters long
outstanding. Did no one ever tell you it was rude to shout? But how would you know that? Still, for as much as I care, you can stand there all day till Jerry Cruncher comes back and settles your business.
Therese's dark eyes sweep. See a discarded shoe forgotten in the hasty departure. See doors open onto empty rooms. See burnt papers in the grate. See something else that catches the sun like gold.
What is this? Oh, now I understand.
That's it, my friend. Come on, get it down. Some people pay for this stuff, you know. That's it. Spill away. Dirty linen and the stink of brandy. That's Sidney Carton. Hold him, bastard. We need to get another bottle down him yet.
Come on, matey. Let's give him the black eye.
Once you refuse to drink with me, Darnay, well, times change. Now, my friend... Do I look the part?
Why are you doing it? Not for him.
For her.
Always amazes me what a man will do for a woman.
Take care, Barsad. You're not out of this yet.
Suit yourself, Captain. And don't worry. You look like an aristo, and he looks more than half seas over.
Here we go.
We're ready, citizen. Come on, Mr. Carton.
I'm going to be...
I can trust you. Do your job.
Excuse you, filthy English pig.
Take him away. The English pig is drunk.
Come on, Mr. Lawyer. Sorry about the mess, citizen.
You're some kind of a man, Mr. Carton. So you are.
Well, Sydney, you've done it now.
Who goes there?
Travellers, I have a pass for all. We wait for our English friend. He will be with us directly.
Who is in the coach with you?
Just a sick man and a boy, his nephew.
You?
It's my uncle. His wits are gone, citizen. We're taking him to the asylum.
Very well. You may wait.
May God forgive for those words. And for deserting my husband.
He will forgive.
Then I will never forgive myself.
She blinks back tears. Her head now shorn of golden hair. Her face so young and vulnerable. Beside her, the father she and me have lost forever now. And behind them, in the dark heart of that other city, vengeance. Thérèse Defarge picks up a golden curl from the cold fireplace.
She has cut her hair. She's in disguise, the Evremonde woman. No difference. I will have her.
Pross doesn't understand the words, but she knows damned well what the golden hair means.
Put that down. I will have her head and her child. Every one of that race will die as my family died.
Jabber, jabber, jabber. It don't make no difference to me, because you ain't going nowhere.
You think you're fierce, my lady. Perhaps you are. Perhaps the world should come to see us as we are at last.
Thérèse makes for the door.
Stand back if you wish. I'll stand in my way and die for it.
There is a confidence, a certainty in her step, as if she knows nothing will stop her now.
Not leaving so soon.
But then she doesn't know Pross. Both frozen in time as the afternoon sun creeps across the wooden boards of the floor.
Too late for prayers, Evremonde. You've got a date with the national knife.
I have made my peace. I am ready. Shall we go?
I am ready. You people make me sick. The sooner we've done the last of you, the better.
Then you better get on with it, citizen.
The sun has advanced perhaps an inch, no more, when at last she moves.
You think you can stop me?
Steel flashes in her hand.
Choke on this!
Oh, not now. I will have my...
That's done for you, you brass-faced bitch. Done for me too. Jerry, you needn't bother coming back now. Fly away, Ladybird. Fly away.
The sun creeps an inch further, its light catching the slow wave of blood that spreads across the floor. Thérèse, Pross, the same. No difference. As the sun creeps across the cobbles of Execution Square. And in the tumbrel, in the dock.
My witness, I believe. Splendid.
Now, Mr. Carton.
I am at your service.
On the contrary, it appears you are at the service of a delusion, that you are doing something that has some manner of meaning.
I'm going to die, along with every other human being in this cart. The old, the young, the ugly, the beautiful.
Ah, I noticed you took the chance to comfort a young girl, hold her close, kiss her on the lips, taste her salty tears, assure her she'll be in heaven tonight. Surely pretty low, Mr. Carton, even for you.
I spoke as I felt.
Haven't you always felt that at least you saw things clearly, without sentiment or delusion? Is that not so? Answer, please.
Yes.
And yet you were doing this for love? Of another man's wife?
Yes.
Do you think she'll remember you with salty tears in her eyes? That she'll see your face when she embraces her husband?
Enough. You want guilt? I am guilty. I wanted to do something.
Can you see that? For love again? Is there a better reason?
Do what? Something far better than I have ever done.
And for that, you'll die under the guillotine?
No, sir. I'll go to a far better rest than I have ever known.
Do you really believe it?
I hope. That's all there is in the end. Hope.
Sidney Carton, that once promising lawyer, stands centre stage at last, at the foot of a scaffold. He stumbles, catches himself. He begins to climb. It's not easy keeping balance with his wrists tied, so he's concentrating on each step. The blade is pulled up. The ratchet connects. The blade is held, waiting. He pauses for a moment and looks around for the last time. Then they take him, throw him down, secure the straps. They're fast and efficient. The release handle for the blade is beside his head. He can see the executioner's hand as it reaches out. The blade falls. A gleam of sunlight catches the steel for one moment and flashes like a tear in the beloved's eye. And it is as if the blade itself is frozen in time and space forever.
In the final episode of A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, Sidney Carton was played by Paul Reddy, Miss Pross by Alison Steadman, Charles Darnay by Andrew Scott, Lucy by Lydia Wilson, Dr. Manette by Carl Johnson, and Jarvis Laurie by Jonathan Coy. Madame Defarge was Tracy Wilds, Jerry, Carl Prekop, Barsad, Gerard McDermott, and the court president, Paul Moriarty. Charles Dickens was Robert Lindsay, and other parts were played by Ricky Lawton, Christopher Webster, Adam Billington, Alex Rivers, and Simon Bubb. The music was by Leonard Bush. A Tale of Two Cities was dramatized by Mike Walker and directed by Jeremy Mortimer and Jessica Dromgoole.